Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 2, Chapter 2. The world was not formed by angels or by any other being, contrary to the will of the Most High God, but was made by the Father through the Word. Those, moreover, who say that the world was formed by angels or by any other maker of it, contrary to the will of him who is the supreme Father, err first of all in this very point, that they maintain that angels formed such and so mighty a creation, contrary to the will of the Most High God. This would imply that angels were more powerful than God, or if not so, that he was either careless or inferior, or paid no regard to those things which took place among his own possessions, whether they turned out ill or well, so that he might drive away and prevent the one, while he praised and rejoiced over the other. But if one would not ascribe such conduct even to a man of any ability, how much less to God? Next, let them tell us whether these things have been formed within the limits which are contained by him, and in his proper territory, or in regions belonging to others and lying beyond him. But if they say that these things were done beyond him, then all the absurdities already mentioned will face them, and the supreme God will be enclosed by that which is beyond him, in which also it will be necessary that he should find his end. If, on the other hand, these things were done within his own proper territory, it will be very idle to say that the world was thus formed within his proper territory, against his will, by angels who are themselves under his power, or by any other being, as if either he himself did not behold all things which take place among his own possessions, or was not aware of the things to be done by angels. If, however, the things referred to were done not against his will, but with his concurrence and knowledge, as some think, the angels, or the former of the world, whoever that may have been, will no longer be the causes of that formation, but the will of God. For if he is the former of the world, he too made the angels, or at least was the cause of their creation, and he will be regarded as having made the world, who prepared the causes of its formation. Although they maintain that the angels were made by a long succession downwards, or that the former of the world sprang from the Supreme Father, as Basilides asserts, nevertheless, that which is the cause of those things which have been made will still be traced to him who was the author of such a succession. The case stands just as regards success in war, which is ascribed to the king who prepared those things which are the cause of victory, and in like manner the creation of any state or any work is referred to him who prepared materials for the accomplishment of those results which were afterwards brought about. Wherefore, we do not say that it was the axe which cut the wood, or the saw which divided it, but one would very properly say that the man cut and divided it, who formed the axe and the saw for this purpose, and who also formed, at a much earlier date, all the tools by which the axe and the saw themselves were formed. With justice, therefore, according to an analogous process of reasoning, the Father of all will be declared the former of this world, and not the angels, nor any other so-called former of this world, other than he who was its author, and had formerly been the cause of the preparation for a creation of this kind. This manner of speech may perhaps be plausible or persuasive to those who know not God, and who liken him to needy human beings, and to those who cannot immediately and without assistance form anything, but require many instrumentalities to produce what they intend. But it will not be regarded as at all probable by those who know that God stands in need of nothing. and that he created and made all things by his word. While he neither required angels to assist him at the production of those things which are made, nor of any power greatly inferior to himself, and ignorant of the Father, nor of any defect or ignorance, in order that he who should know him might become man. But he himself, in himself, after a fashion which we can neither describe nor conceive, predestinating all things, formed them as he pleased, bestowing harmony on all things, and assigning them their own place, and the beginning of their creation. In this way he conferred on spiritual things a spiritual and invisible nature, on supercelestial things a celestial, on angels an angelical, on animals an animal, on beings that swim a nature suited to the water, and on those that live on the land, one fitted for the land. On all, in short, a nature suitable to the character of the life assigned them. While he formed all things that were made by his word that never wearies. For this is a peculiarity of the preeminence of God, not to stand in need of other instruments for the creation of those things which are summoned into existence. His own word is both suitable and sufficient for the formation of all things, even as John, the disciple of the Lord, declares regarding him. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. Now, among the all things, our world must be embraced. It too, therefore, was made by his word, as Scripture tells us in the book of Genesis, that he made all things connected with our world by his word. David also expresses the same truth when he says, "For he spake, and they were made. He commanded, and they were created." Whom, therefore, shall we believe as to the creation of the world? These heretics who have been mentioned, that prate so foolishly and inconsistently on the subject, or the disciples of the Lord and Moses, who was both a faithful servant of God and a prophet? He, at first, narrated the formation of the world in these words: "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," and all other things in succession. But neither gods nor angels had any share in the work. Now, that this God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle also has declared, saying, "There is one God, the Father, who is above all, and through all things, and in us all." I have indeed proved already that there is only one God, but I shall further demonstrate this from the apostles themselves, and from the discourses of the Lord. For what sort of conduct would it be were we to forsake the utterances of the prophets, of the Lord, and of the apostles, that we might give heed to these persons who speak not a word of sense? Chapter 3. The Bythus and Pleroma of the Valentinians, as well as the god of Marcion, shown to be absurd. The world was actually created by the same being who had conceived the idea of it, and was not the fruit of defect or ignorance. The Bythus, therefore, whom they conceive of with his Pleroma, and the god of Marcion, are inconsistent. If indeed, as they affirm, he has something subjacent and beyond himself, which they style vacuity and shadow, this vacuum is then proved to be greater than their Pleroma. But it is inconsistent even to make this statement, that while he contains all things within himself, the creation was formed by some other. For it is absolutely necessary that they acknowledge a certain void and chaotic kind of existence below the spiritual Pleroma in which this universe was formed, and that the Propator purposefully left this chaos as it was, either knowing beforehand what things were to happen in it, or being ignorant of them. If he was really ignorant, then God will not be prescient of all things. But they will not even in that case be able to assign a reason on what account he thus left this place void during so long a period of time. If, again, he is prescient, and contemplated mentally that creation which was about to have a being in that place, then he himself created it, who also formed it beforehand, ideally, in himself. Let them cease, therefore, to affirm that the world was made by any other, for as soon as God formed a conception in his mind, that was also done which he had thus mentally conceived. For it was not possible that one being should mentally form the conception, and another actually produce the things which had been conceived by him in his mind. But God, according to these heretics, mentally conceived either an eternal world or a temporal one, both of which suppositions cannot be true. Yet, if he had mentally conceived of it as eternal, spiritual, and visible, it would also have been formed as such. But if it was formed such as it really is, then he made it such who had mentally conceived of it as such, or he willed it to exist in the ideality of the Father, according to the conception of his mind, such as it now is, compound, mutable, and transient. Since, then, it is just such as the Father had ideally formed in counsel with himself, it must be worthy of the Father. But to affirm that what was mentally conceived and pre-created by the Father of all, just as it has actually been formed, is the fruit of defect and the production of ignorance, is to be guilty of great blasphemy. For according to them, the Father of all will thus be regarded as generating in his breast, according to his own mental conception, the emanations of defect and the fruits of ignorance, since the things which he had conceived in his mind have actually been produced. End of chapter 3.